You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 1, where we left off last time. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Christian in America to join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., either here in person or wherever you are, to pray fervently for America, that God will still look upon us one more time and make us free, that Jesus be our Lord and the Bible our book. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping. I am in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I am right there at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord Jesus has taken his 12 disciples up into a mountain to teach them the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. And he told them to teach us. As always, I asked the Lord to show me his heart so I could share it with your heart. So from Matthew 7, from the Lord's heart to my heart to your heart, here's what he gave me. The seer to see or not to see. Now, if you read classical Shakespeare, you know that Shakespeare said to be or not to be. But we're moving it up. Pardon me, Shakespeare, to see or not to see. What is a seer? S-E-E-R. A seer is a man or woman who's anointed by the Holy Spirit who has the gift of prophecy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not your fortune cookie and it's not your crystal ball. And very often God will speak words through them. So the title is The Seer, to see or not to see.
Verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged.
Now, the deepest meaning of this is that not any of us is ever to say who's going to heaven or who's going to walk into the lake of fire hell. That is reserved for the Lord Jesus Christ only. However, we are also to be very careful in how we assess a matter or a person or a place, how we evaluate a matter or a person or a place. Because you see, we don't always know everything. It's so easy to say, oh, that's the way that is. And maybe we're not seeing clearly. So we do have discernment of spirits, but be very careful on how you judge a person, a business, or a situation, or a church. Watch out how you assess, appraise, or evaluate.
Amen.
Verse 2, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
As we've learned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, knowing whatsoever good thing, anything a man does, the same shall receive of the Lord. In other words, God's law of reciprocity. If you misjudge a person or a place or a ministry or a thing, and you misassess them, that's what God's going to do for you. Be careful.
Amen. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again.
What goes around comes around.
Yeah. 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Now, a mote is called a little speck of dust. A beam is a log. Now, naturally, Jesus is not saying any of us has a log in our mouth. It's a metaphor. Okay, in other words, if you've got a beam in your eye, you're not seeing anything correctly. Whatever you're assessing or evaluating or praising or judging, you're not seeing it clearly. That might not even be a mote. That might not even be a speck of dust there. Understand? So, you've got to see clearly. So, you've got to take out the beam. You've got to take out the blinders. And you've got to put in the Word of God that sees clearly. Amen. Now, let's take a little example here. All of you who are listening to me who are Christians, let's say that you and I have a big old beam in our eye, and we're not seeing clearly. But we see in a building, the owner of the building, it looks like a church. The man has a whip in his hand, and he's beating the workers there. Now, because we have a beam in our eye, we say, boy, the owner of that church is bad. Look how mean he is to those workers there. Let's take the beam out and put the Word in, which makes us see clearly, and we see, oh, it's Jesus. He's made a cat of nine tails, and he's beating out those phony baloney money changers who are messing up God's house. You see, sometimes you take the paddle. Okay. Now, I went to quite a few colleges. One of them was Judson College in Marion, Alabama. And I knew a high school coach there. And he loved his players. And when a game was on, I would go and watch that. He got so excited, he'd eat the grass. The coach is eating the grass. And he's shouting at the players. Now see, if I had a beam in my eye, I would say, what a mean coach. He's yelling at the players. No. The players knew he loved them. He was helping them to win. Hey, do that, play that, go that, run that, get that ball. You understand? So you see, with a beam in your eye, you could have said, what a bad, bad coach. Now, I used to do theater, and I had different directors. One director was really, really great. She loved me, and she saw talent in me. She always made me the star. I was always a star. I was always a leading lady. Give God the glory. But I was the one she yelled at all the time. You know why? Because the show was on my shoulders. And she loved me. And she didn't have time to say, you know, color this blue, color this green. In other words, it was on my shoulders. And we always had a perfect show. Understand? So she wasn't mean. But if I had a beam in my eye, I would say, what a mean person. Now, sometimes a business owner has to take his employees out to the woodshed. And you say, what a mean, mean employer. You bad old employer. Hold on. But you see, he's a good employer. He could have fired that bad employee, and the bad employee would not have a job. But he gives him a second chance. And he's got a few others he has to say, let me take you to the woodshed. Let's see if we can't correct this. You see, if you have a beam in your eye, you'll say, you are bad, you are mean. Jesus wouldn't do that. But you see, get the beam out of your eye, and you might not even see a speck there.
Amen. Four. But how do thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye.
So before we say to someone else, hey, you there, you're bad. Let's make sure that we're seeing the whole situation clearly. Get the Word of God in your eye. You know, as a minister, I really have the right to go to people because I love them. And I'm here to help people to get to heaven and have a good life. I could say, you know, you're not doing right. That's really bad what you're doing. Now, when I'm teaching, if I say it, it's not me. So see, that's God. I have to say that. So I'm never talking to anybody personally when I'm teaching. But I don't do it personally. You know why? Because I want to make sure that I've got the picture right. Amen. See, I don't want to judge and misjudge. Amen. Beside, I have a gift called discernment of spirits. You can have it too. And it shows me whether they're right or wrong. Usually, if you go to a person and say, you're really bad, they hate you, and they just run away. It doesn't do much good. It hurts their feelings. What I do is I pray for them. And I ask the Holy Spirit, if I really feel there's something really wrong there, I ask the Holy Spirit to correct them. Listen, church, we are not another Christian's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit knows how to convict and direct.
Amen.
5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye.
You usually find out that the person who goes around criticizing everybody else has got a few things they need to correct themselves.
Amen.
Let's all keep our slate clean, and then we can help somebody else clean theirs.
6. Give not that which is holy unto the dog.
Okay, what is a dog? Not bark, bark. A dog is described in Psalm 22 when Jesus was teaching from the cross. A dog is also called a bull of Bashan. It's not animals. It's a metaphor for the devil's children. Did you know the devil has real biological children, men and women? They're alive and seemingly well right now. They're really bad right now. Now, they're bad. Okay. They're called the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Don't get it mixed up with the Canaanites with a C. They say they are Judah, but they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. In the garden, that old devil, who is a cherub, but is low down like a snake, not a snake, just his name, beguiled Eve. The Greek is exopatio holy, seduced her, and she got her pregnant with Cain. And Cain is a child of the devil, and his descendants are the bulls of Bashan and the dogs. In other words, they are the devil's children. So what Jesus is saying to you, okay, you want to witness, you got the beam out of your eye, you see the word there, and you see a devil's child, and you say, hey, let me tell you about this. Let me tell you this about the word. Let me tell you that about the word. Now, be careful. The devil's children are so hard-hearted, they don't want to hear it. They can be saved, but it's not very often. If you give to them the word of God, they are going to say, Raka, who are you to tell me what to do? They are hard-hearted. Now, once in a while, they might be saved. So what you have to do is judge the situation, assess the situation, and throw out one little seed of God's word. I'm sorry, the dogs and the bulls of Bashan, the devil's children, usually won't receive it. They have the hardest heart. They don't want anybody to tell them what they do. They're like, I read the Bible for myself, but of course they don't. And so it's probably not going to do any good. If they do receive that one little word, then go ahead and give some more. If not, move on. Don't throw your holy words to the dogs.
Neither cast ye your pearls before swine.
Now, bulls of Bashan and dogs eat swine. And Leviticus 11, swine is an unclean food. It'll make you sick if you eat it. So he says here, the pearls of great price that you have learned by taking the beam out of your eye and learning the mystery of God, every word of God, are so precious. Don't throw them away on those hard-hearted dogs and bulls of Bashan. Do try a little bit, but then probably not going to receive it. Go on to the next person. In other words, you have to have discernment of spirits. You need to know when to sow and to whom to sow, or when to go on your way.
Lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Usually, if you throw your pearls to a hard-hearted person, they will look at you with fiery eyes, call you a false prophet, and hate you, and just jeer at you. So you see, you want to have discernment of spirits to know where to sow.
7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Now, you want to know what to sow and to whom to sow. So each one of these words in the Greek is intensified. Ask, seek, knock. Each one is stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, this little scripture here is often misused. People think if I ask and seek and knock, I get a Lamborghini, I get a Rolls Royce, I get a palace. If you need a house, ask for a house. If you need a car, ask for a house. That is not what this is talking about. What was the subject here? You're a seer. You want to see. You want to judge right. You want to sow the word. You want to know where to sow. You don't want to throw the word away. So you say, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that the Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth and give me discernment of spirit so I will know to whom to sow and where to sow. And then you intensify that. And Father, I seek. Father, I seek with all my heart. I seek the pure word. Get the beam out of my eye. Let me see purely and clearly. Let me have the word and show me to whom to sow. Give me discernment of spirits. Oh, Father, I knock, knock, knock. Open the door. The door is Jesus. Jesus is the word. Come in and sup with me. Give me the word and show me where to sow. Or where to go. Amen.
H. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened.
Remember, you're asking for the word of God and discernment of spirits, where and to whom to sow the word. God wants to help you, and if you're sincere about that, he will give you that word. Living proof here.
9. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone?
Okay. If you've got a child and your child says, Daddy, I'm hungry, you would give him something to eat. You wouldn't give him an old dirty rock. Okay. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus is the Word. All right? He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So just as you would give your child bread and not an old dirty stone to eat, our Father, when we ask for the Word of God and discernment of spirits so we can sow the Word, so we can get somebody saved, so we can get them into the kingdom, so we can help them to get where they need to be, of course He's going to help us. Remember, you are here to expand the kingdom of God, not your kingdom. Sorry about that.
Amen. 10. Or if he asks a fish, will you give him a serpent?
You're having fish for dinner, and your child says, Daddy, Mommy, give me some fish. No, you can have an old snake. Of course you would not do that. In the Bible, the fish is a symbol of Jesus. The Greek word is ichthus. Want to try to say it? Ichthus. Okay, you've spoken Greek. It means Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Now, when the church was first formed, the evil government would not let them have church. Nothing new under the sun. They closed the churches. So they couldn't put a sign outside and say, we're going to meet in Mary's house tonight to have the word and prayer. But they would draw a fish symbol, ichthus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. We're going to get the truth here, and we're not going to get the serpent. Jesus is the truth, and the serpent is one of the devil's play actor names. So when you're asking for the word of God and discernments to help people, God's not going to give you a lie of the devil. Amen. And he's not going to lead you to the wrong person.
Amen. 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him?
Even evil people love their children and give them good gifts. How much more will Father give you good things? How about we stop asking for the stuff and Amen. Asking for the spiritual gifts? Amen. How about we ask for the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the gift of faith, discernment of spirits, the gift of prophecy, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues? How about we ask for the word of God, visions and revelations of God? How about we ask that God will lead us to win many souls to Jesus? And if we ask this, we get that. See, you've been asking amiss. Let's ask correctly. Let's assess the situation and judge rightly about what we're to ask for.
Amen.
12. Therefore, all things whatsoever that ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
The law is the word of God, and the prophet is the seer, S-E-E-R, who sees the truth of the word, the golden rule. In other words, you would want someone to come to you and tell you the truth, so you want to be able to go and tell the truth to someone else. Not one little verse and 3 points, not a lifeline proverb, not all kinds of things here, the word of God. Honestly, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a wonderful rule to apply in everything, not only in witnessing and winning souls, but in marriage, in friendships, in work, in relationships. Mm-hmm. Before you judge, assess the situation and do to that one what you would have that one do to you.
Amen. 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate.
Enter ye in at the straight gate. Okay, a gate is the door, and Jesus is the door, and Jesus is the word. So, to keep that beam out of your own eye, so you don't start seeing the wrong kind of a speck, maybe it's not a speck at all, or so you don't hurt someone else when you're not supposed to be, what you want to do is keep a straight focus on the door, Jesus. Keep a straight focus on the word. Read your Bible every day. Memorize scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy. In other words, keep your eyes on the word of God, and that beam will get in your eye, and then you maybe understand that there's more to what you're thinking is bad here than you see. See, there's always two sides to every story.
Amen. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Destruction is the destroyer, that's the devil. Now, he's about to come back calling himself Jesus. He comes before Jesus, but he's going to call himself Jesus, and the whole world will go after him. The whole wide world will worship the instead of Christ, the devil with his Jesus costume on. Half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, will think he's Jesus come to fly him away. You're not flying away. That caught up in the air doesn't mean to fly away. It means you're going to change in the spiritual body when Jesus comes. But everybody's going to go to wide. The whole world is going to go to the destroyer, and half the body of Christ. There are only a few who are not going. We're going to find out who is not going to destruction. But the few who are not going are keeping a straight focus on the gate, on the door, on the word. Amen. See, if you knew the word, I taught you Revelations, you would know the sixth trump is the Antichrist, the devil pretending to be Jesus, and you know the seventh is Jesus, and you know the first one's a deceiver.
14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Did you hear that? Few there be that find it. Now, we do know in the book of Revelation there are multiple thousands who are going to be saved, but over a period of time, more people are going to go to the devil than are going to go to the Lord. When the Antichrist comes, the whole world will worship him and half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, because they got a beam in their eye. They don't see the truth. Only 7,000 people who are alive right now, 7,000 elect, and it's a spiritual number, are going to not worship him, plus the two witnesses. Man, that's few, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you want to be one of the few.
Amen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody's called to the truth. Everybody, right now, everybody could be saved, but few are chosen. Very few people choose the straight and narrow path. Look at the body of Christ. We all know Christians, lots of them. They're good people. They're kind and good. They go to church. But how many Christians do you know that you can sit down and have a real intelligent conversation about the mystery of God, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, the world that then was, the seduction in the garden? Not many. Few are chosen.
15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
Now, he's still talking about this false prophet. The false prophet is the Antichrist. Jesus is prophet, priest, king, and savior. The false prophet is the Antichrist. Beware of him. Revelation says the Antichrist is coming, of course, before Jesus. He's coming in the clouds, saying peace and safety, cause craft to prosper, peace and nice, a great revival in the deceived part of the Christian church. Oh, Jesus is here. And it says he has two horns of a lamb. Horns means power. This is the devil pretending to be Jesus. He's got his Jesus costume on. He's going to call himself the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, our Passover Lamb. So he's going to look like him, but he's clothed the voice of a dragon. He's really the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he's coming back with his fallen angels, Genesis 6. They will preach great swelling words. Some of them are preaching now, trying to tell you that before the Antichrist comes, that Jesus is coming to fly you away. You're not flying anywhere. Read Zechariah chapter 5. You try to get that airbus, you're going to get stuck. You're not going there. You're not going here. Caught up in the clouds and the air does not mean in the sky. It means that all of us who are here when Jesus comes will change into our spiritual body. It's a metaphor.
Amen.
Amen.
16. We shall know them by their fruits.
It doesn't take long to listen to a person to see where they're coming from. They can say Jesus, they can say Bible, they can say all this stuff. It doesn't take long. When I was a little girl, about 6 or 7 years old, I had a wonderful teacher who loved me, and she said, one day you're going to be speaking before a lot of people. She saw that in me. So Miss Willaloo gave me a book, The Educated Understanding Heart. I read that and I said, Lord, give me an understanding heart. I'm 6 or 7 years old. And I said, Father, help me not to even pay attention to what they look like, whether they're pretty or ugly or big or little or fat or rich or poor. Let me look at their heart. Oh, what a blessing all my life. You see, look at the heart. Don't look at the surface. You'll know them by their fruits.
Yeah, amen. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles?
The grapes represents the blood of Jesus, and the figs are the generation of the fig tree, the generation of God's children alive right now who are going to usher in the second coming of Jesus. Now, if we are saved, the figs, because of the blood of Jesus, the grapes, then our Father is not a thorn or a thistle. Our Father is the great evergreen tree, Jesus Christ, the first tree. Now, in the book of Judges, chapter 9, God calls his children the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. It's a metaphor. And it says the trees of the field were ready to select themselves a king. And they said, Grapevine, will you be our king? And the grapevine said, nope, I'm too busy telling people about the blood of Jesus. And they said, Fig tree, will you be our king? The fig tree said, nope, I'm too busy declaring the word and trying to win souls to Jesus. But the bramble, the thorn, the thistle, who happens to be the devil, said, I'll be your king. And I only ask, come and hide under my shadow and I'll protect you. The only thing is a thorn, a thistle, a bramble doesn't have any leaves, so it has no shadow. You know them by their fruits. So look at the thorns and thistles saying, we give you free education, free medicine, free this, free that, free that. They can't because they don't have it to give. You'll know them by their fruits.
17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Now Jesus takes us back to the Garden of Eden. There is a great tree there called the tree of life. Remember, tree is a metaphor. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, is he good? There's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's low down and dirty like a snake. He was not a snake, that's a metaphor. Jesus can only bring forth good. The devil can only bring forth death.
18. good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit.
Now, Jesus, everything he does is good. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He saves your soul. He's your good shepherd.
Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Even if people say they are Christians, but are not really, they can't bring forth good fruit. You don't see any fruit on them, and actually it's a little bit rotten, and it's going to die.
19. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Okay. All of us are supposed to bear fruit. Now, Jesus says in John 15 of himself, I, Jesus, am the vine, and you, if you're saved, are the branch. He said, the branch abides in the vine, and you will bring forth much fruit. So, if you're saved, you're the branch, and if you're saved, you're abiding in Jesus, and you're automatically bringing forth fruit. The branch can't help it. The grapes just pop up there. However, what if you say you're saved, but you don't bring forth fruit? If you were saved, you would bring forth fruit. God gives you a little slack time while you're learning and growing. In other words, if you are saved, people are going to see that you are expanding the kingdom of Jesus Christ on earth. Amen. They're going to see that you're sowing seeds of kindness. You're bringing in the sheaves. You're carrying the word. You live a different life. You are happy in the midst of turmoil. Amen. You're at peace in the midst of all kinds of sorrow.
Amen.
So, see, if you are saved Christian, you are bringing forth fruit. If you're not bringing forth fruit, you're not saved. Jesus just said it. So that's why, if you don't bring forth fruit, you go into the lake of fire at the end of the millennium. Are you bringing forth fruit? Better do the check test.
20. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
All you have to do is look at a person's life. If they're really in Jesus Christ, you're going to see fruit. You're going to see that wherever they go, the atmosphere is changed. Darkness turns to light. Sad hearts get happy. And hope is where there was despair. You're going to see there's a difference. They're not like the world. We're in the world. We're not like the world.
Yeah.
21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, some of you say you're saved, but you're not saved.
But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
What is his will? His last will and testament, the Bible. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. James says you don't want to be a hearer of the word, you want to be a doer of the word. See, you hear all of these truths on the radio, internet, every Sunday, every Wednesday. I mean, wow, is God teaching us how to live. But you're only picking and choosing and doing this one. Did you know that you're supposed to not forsake the assembling of yourself together? You're supposed to go and hear the word. You're supposed to witness. You're supposed to tithe. You're supposed to give to the poor. You're supposed to just give your life surrender. You're supposed to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to pray without ceasing. You're supposed to fast. Okay. Everybody's saying, I'm a Christian, is not saved.
22. Then you will say unto me in that day.
What day? The second coming of Jesus. Now remember, the devil comes first, and the world calls him God, and half the body of Christ will think he's Jesus, and they will go and marry him. But then they're going to run. Wait a minute. Oh, there's Jesus. Sorry, I made a mistake. And they will run to Jesus.
Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?
Lord, we went to church and we preached.
And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works.
We gave money.
23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
New in the Greek is a marriage term. Remember, Jesus is the bridegroom, and we, his saved church, are the bride. He's coming back for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But when he comes back in that day, when he sees half of the body of Christ, who's now running up there, oops, I made a mistake, Jesus, I loved you, I went to church. No, I don't know you. You married the devil. I'm not intimate with you. You've already committed adultery. What's he going to say?
Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Get away from me, you sinned. So you see, you want to judge not that you be not judged. Assess the situation. Get the beam out of your eye. Fill your eye with the Word of God. The Word is life to those that find them. And then you will see clearly to help someone else get the little speck of dust out of their eye. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
At this time, I'm going to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. What a great word. God's perfect timing, huh?
Amen.
Perfect timing, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23.
Absolutely. Great, Scott. Great stuff. Thank you, Scott. Beautiful. In a moment, I'm going to pray for the sick. But first of all, if you're not saved, see, you might have been baptized. You might go to church all the time. Are you saved? Pray this prayer with me. And mean it, and God will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of my sins.
I repent of my sins.
I stop them.
I stop them.
I turn away from them.
I turn away from them.
I quit.
I quit.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize, fill, and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Baptize, fill, and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bear much fruit.
To bear much fruit.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you out in cyberspace, the Bible says confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, you'll hear my telephone number. Yes, that's the correct number. Call and leave that message on my voicemail and say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. And now let's pray for the sick. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, as you said in Isaiah 43:26, to put your remembrance of your word. My Lord, I put your remembrance of Malachi chapter 4. Father, you said unto those that fear your name, shall the Son of Righteous arise with healing in your wings. For everyone out there who fears the name of the Lord, that means you love his name. What's his name? His name is called the Word of God, Revelation 19:13. He is Adonai, Master. He's El Shaddai, God Almighty. He's Amen. Yahweh. He's a living word.
Amen.
If you revere that name, we ask now, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. We ask that you will go into the intestines, the upper intestine and the lower intestine, into the colon, and bring divine order. No overaction, no inaction. Perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination. In the name of Jesus, peace be still. He sent his word and healed you. You recover health and cure. He heals you of your wounds. He restores health to you. And with Jesus' stripes, you are healed.
Amen.
Pick up your bed and walk. We praise God in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I agree in
Jesus' name.
Nothing is given to you to keep. Go and tell, and God will give you some more. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock. I love you with all my heart. You just don't know how much I love you. You know, love gives because it's love. It just can't help it. So I pray that all I've given to you will not be in vain, that you will go and give that away too. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the beloved family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
To live a life of love. We are. What a friend I found, closer than a brother. I have felt your touch more intimate than lovers. Jesus, friend forever. What a hope I found, more faithful than a mother. It would break my to ever lose each other. What a hope I found, more faithful than a mother. It would break my heart to ever lose each other.
You're listening to WMIE, a Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
We call